Introduce Ellen Schaefer, who is our current chair of the Trade and Health Forum. Dr. Schaefer is also the co-director of the Center for Policy Analysis on Trade and Health, or CPATH, which conducts policy research and advocacy on the cutting edge of social justice and public health. The center's current projects address reproductive rights, access to health care, and globalization in health. She also oversees the Equal Health Network campaigns for equitable, quality, universal, affordable health reform. Dr. Schaefer is assistant clinical professor in the Department of Clinical Pharmacy at the University of California, San Francisco, and an elected member of the board of the National Women's Health Network. So it's my pleasure to introduce her. And if I could just also bother you to, I'm going to send around a sign-up sheet. If you're interested in becoming involved with our Trade and Health Forum activities, please do sign up with us, as well as some colorful flyers that give you information on our upcoming sessions. So without further ado, thank you, Ellen.
Thanks very much, Shelley, and thanks to all of you for coming to this session. I'm going to do a little trade 101 and then talk some about current issues in public health and some of the and trade and some of the things we're doing about it. Our mission at the Center for Policy Analysis on Trade and Health, CPATH, is to conduct research, analysis, and advocacy to advance global economic policies that improve and protect public health. At the moment, we're suggesting that we're at a crossroads. Our economic and political systems are increasingly facing difficulties, fundamentally righting themselves and advancing the interests of social and economic justice. We're facing climate change as glaciers are melting. We're seeing hot temperatures when in the summer in Austin, this was a fire. People were fleeing their houses. We know it's been unseasonably cold here in D.C. U.S. Income inequality in the U.S., and we are certainly hearing plenty about this these days from Occupy, is at the highest level now that it's been at since 1929. 24% of the income is being snatched by 1% of the population. U.S. employment as a percent of population since 1994, when the NAFTA was supposed to bring us jobs and trade was supposed to improve our economy, employment for people over age 16 is way down. So it's a time to look for real solutions. We're told that trade agreements is part and increased trade is part of fixing our economy. We have to challenge the imperatives of unmitigated accumulation and unrelenting poverty. It's not as though we can ignore the need for economic development, but we have to make choices that save lives and make real progress. So there are a couple of different overarching views about how this should be working. The neoliberal view, which is dominating policy, including to a large extent, it seems, in the current administration, is that we should facilitate trade to increase the wealth of corporations, and this will help the general population, including the poor, deregulate everything, make it easier for our capital to flow across borders, encourage foreign direct investment, and privatize public services in order to save public funds and increase access. I suggest that the public health view, that there's a sustainable alternative that we can suggest, that countries can make their own democratically decided decisions about the mix of foreign investment and local development, that accountable and democratic governments are an important component of sustainable economic development, strong social institutions and infrastructure help assure access to affordable vital services, including healthcare, education, water, and sanitation, and promote equity. Privatization could save some money for public entities, but shifts costs for those services to individuals. So we're here talking about trade agreements, one part of the global economy, and I know some of you in this room teach this, but for folks, just to sort of set the stage, global trade agreements facilitate global corporate transactions. They're intended to reduce barriers to trade, which is referred to as liberalizing trade. They basically give corporations rights to overcome public health protections. Barriers to trade in things like goods or tariffs, the idea is that we should reduce the cost of goods and make it easier for them to cross borders. But when we look at things like services, barriers to trade are measures, often public health protections that are very important to us in public health regulations and laws, administrative rulings, and corporations referred to in trade lingo as investors have rights via these trade agreements to challenge these measures. The World Trade Organization has not advanced this agenda very significantly in the last 10 years. There have been demonstrations just about these agreements are made at meetings in various countries. There has been significant resistance for many decades, but certainly looking at the demonstrations in 1999 in Seattle is a real turning point. There's been a deadlock at the World Trade Organization, partly as a result, the U.S. has been turning to regional and bilateral free trade agreements, including agreements such as those with Singapore and Chile and the Central America Free Trade Agreement. Just recently, three Bush-era free trade agreements were put forward by the Obama administration and did pass in Congress. This is a scorecard of the vote in the House. There were the majority of Democrats did not vote for these agreements. Some did. There were not enough Democrats in the House to stop the vote had they all voted no. In the Senate, on the other hand, the Democrats could have stopped. Republicans basically were voting for these trade agreements. Democrats could have stopped them since they have a majority, but did not do that. The U.S. is proposing the Trans-Pacific Partnership as a high-performance trade agreement. It's currently under negotiations. It includes the nine countries that are up there on the screen. And I want to talk just about a couple of policies, access to medicines, tobacco control, and democratic participation in trade policy to suggest the kind of what the problems are with the policies and current agreements and the kinds of policies that we might pursue, particularly in the TPP. On access to medicines, intellectual property rules basically enforce patent rights, which are monopoly rights to drug companies, to brand name corporations, to prevent, actually, competition, which is the opposite of what trade policy says it's trying to do. This drives up prices, precludes competition from generic competitors, and it forecloses options for access to affordable life-saving drugs. We did a study, and you can look up that site, or we can send it to you. I know a lot of people have seen it, on the effects of the some of these intellectual property rules, particularly data exclusivity through the Central America Free Trade Agreement, the implications for access in Guatemala. Very short couple of findings. One data-protected drug, for example, cost 856% higher than the equivalent drug that was not data protected. All of the data protected drugs that we looked at, CAFTA was approved in 2005. We looked at data from 2007 to see what the effect had been, and all the data protected drugs were significantly more expensive compared to non-protected drugs that were therapeutically equivalent. This is a price comparison of some of the data-protected and non-data-protected drugs and the difference in the price. We found no evidence of any encouragement of innovation, which is one of the rationales at times for these draconian rules. And this is just a history of the attempt over several years to coerce the Guatemalan legislature to adopt data protection absent these trade agreements. It finally succeeded with the trade agreement. So we just looked at also, how come? I mean, are drug companies really going to be making a lot of money off of the market in Guatemala? Some they are. They certainly want to market wherever they can to wealthy populations. But the fact is that several of these drugs were going off patent in the U.S., and a major objective of transnational corporations through these trade agreements is to make sure that we keep prices high in their main market, which is the United States. In 2007, there was the May 10th agreement. A Democratic Congress was elected, insisted before passing, agreeing to the Peru FTA that there be some changes in environmental and labor laws, and also put restrictions on the extent of data exclusivity and patent extensions and renewals. And many of us in the trade justice movement thought, you know, not done, this is a step forward, let's go forward from here. This is tangential. We'll see at the end of our discussion where things are in the TPP. Quick preview didn't quite happen that way. I want to talk a little bit about tobacco and trade, which we have also written about. So let's just talk about, we've talked a bit about drugs. I think we know in public health that cigarettes are not good for you. To the extent that trade agreements reduce the price of cigarettes, make tobacco more accessible, that it's harming people and certainly not serving the interests of public health. About 30% of youth smokers will continue smoking and die early from a smoking-related disease. When they start smoking young, they have the hardest time quitting. Tobacco consumption is fast becoming the leading preventable cause of death. The tobacco industry, in the context of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, excuse me for a sec, Philip Morris's writes to the U.S. Trade Representative, so we know what they think, and the USTR sure knows what they think. They're demanding the U.S. Trade Representative knows what they think. They're demanding the complete elimination of all tariffs on all tobacco products, meaning they'll be cheaper. The government-sponsored initiatives, they claim, expropriate their trademark rights, and they're advocating for strong investor-state protections. In other words, their right to challenge domestic measures. And this is just the history of some of the agreements that we have negotiated and signed in the past in terms of zeroing out tariffs in Singapore, Chile, and Peru. We know that we and other countries are using both graphic warnings and are moving, in fact, to plain paper packaging on cigarettes, because marketing is a key way that the tobacco industry lures in younger voters. It's also been shown that the graphic warnings, which we're going to institute in the U.S., actually do increase the quit rate of adult smokers, which has been very hard. It gets them to call quit lines, been very hard to attack. Philip Morris has not surprisingly opposed all of these kinds of provisions, and I don't know if this is up here. I'll tell you about the recent Indonesia decision. There was a recent decision against the United States at the World Trade Organization level that I'll tell you more about, because I want to get to some other material. This is just, these are some examples of how the tobacco industry uses advertising and the media to pull in youth and the kinds of activities we want to use to stop that. So, at a recent meeting in Chicago to negotiate the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which CPAP presented at and was present at, along with many allies in the room. The American Medical Association, the Association of Pediatrics, American College of Preventive Medicine, presented statements opposing the inclusion of, in the AMA's case, tobacco and alcohol, the other groups in some cases, just tobacco, including those products in trade agreements. We know that the pro side says, well, tobacco is a legal product. We know that it's profitable because it's addictive, and it is legal because it is profitable. That doesn't mean that it should be included in these trade agreements, and through the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, we have a much better document, we think, for addressing how tobacco should or should not be promoted. So CPAP and the Trade and Health Forum have put together public health objectives for global trade, assuring democratic participation by public health, the need to develop mutually beneficial trade relationships that can create sustainable economic development, recognize that our public health authorities, our elected officials, have the legitimate right to protect population health, exclude tariff and non-tariff provisions in trade agreements that address vital human services, also exclude tobacco and tobacco products and alcohol products, and eliminate intellectual property provisions related to pharmaceuticals, particularly from the bilateral and regional level negotiations. I'm sorry that was a little quick, but we can come back to that if folks want to talk about it. As I said, we thought we would be proceeding from the May 10th agreement, strengthening protections for access to drugs, expanding labor rights, so on and so forth. That is not what is being proposed in the TPP, and I expect you'll hear more about that from some of our other speakers. In terms of our participation in making trade policy, CPAP and others have looked at the makeup of the trade advisory committees, which advise the U.S. Trade Representative on policy. This was the lineup when we started a couple of years ago. The pharmaceutical, tobacco, alcohol, food, and health insurance industries are, quote, cleared advisors. They see these secret documents, which no one else is allowed to see, including many members of Congress, until the agreements are basically done. We have improved turned those goose eggs around a little bit on the right, but not very much. We've got a couple of people on some, there's three levels of committees. We have one person technically on the top tier and a few other people sprinkled around, but they're certainly very overwhelmed, and there's still a high level of secrecy about these agreements. Just very quickly, in the 2010, in addition to the medical associations speaking out against these agreements, the Board of Supervisors at the City and County of San Francisco have taken a position opposing the inclusion of tobacco in these agreements. Many members of Congress routinely have been speaking up, most recently Representative Lewis and other members of the House Ways and Means Committee have spoken up in terms of the importance of public health and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So we encourage you to subscribe to the Globalization and Health listserv, and actually if you have signed the list that we have going around, you have done that. Unless you tell us not to include you, you'll get news from the Trade and Health Forum and also from Globalization and Health. And hope that you will stay in touch with us and continue the mantle to work on these issues. Thank you. Thank you.